BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hello, this is Wednesday Scott Mills Daily. We have a Falaraki themed 24 years at the tap end, barbecues and breakdowns. Real or no real, involving Michael Bublé's contact lenses. More phrases you might need if you're heading abroad soon, thanks to my old dusty phrase books. And were we on last night's Sun, Sea and Suspicious Parents on BBC Three? Chris is really keen to find out.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
And here's the theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the top end.
Last time on 24 Years at the Tap End, we reminisced about our time at Channel 4's The Hotel for our birthday last year.
Did you see the manager of that hotel has been on several times?
Yeah.
To talk about that tap end.
I think he put on Twitter, "It wasn't my fault, the bloody staff told everyone you were there. Unbelievable."
Yeah.
So, what are we doing today?
Today's an interesting one because we've kind of spoken about it before. I'm going to take you to my 21st year. And it's about when I went on holiday to Falaraki with the boys.
Oh, yes.
Now, I've talked about this in quite general terms before, but what I thought I'd do is I'll take you to sort of halfway through the week that we were there and just pick up on some stuff that happened that really we didn't have time to do in the last one.
Okay, so it's kind of a revisit to Falaraki.
Think of it as like Falaraki part two.
Well, I'm very keen. In fact, I'm so keen. I've just won everything at the Radio 1 Keen Awards.
Brilliant. And I'm Keenton Recreation Ground.
What's that?
Which is a place called Kenton, which is sort of near where I live.
Who's going to know that?
I'm seriously running out of Keens.
I am Ruddo.
The holiday was going really badly. There was no doubt about it. This was the worst holiday we had been on so far.
What happened?
Well, this is what we're going to go into.
Oh, sure.
Leaving Cantona to book the accommodation had been a massive error. He was the wrong man for the job, compared to the more organised members of our group, such as Chinese Dave or Lensky. In his wisdom, Cantona decided that the best thing to do was book the hotel with the worst reviews, on the basis that lots of young people would be there. The reality of what happened was that we were pretty much the only group at our hotel. No one else wanted to stay there. But we were halfway through the week now, and Cantona was feeling the effects of that decision. We hadn't eaten a proper meal since we arrived, and four nights had taken heavy casualties. Breakfast was provided with the hotel, but this was only served between 6:30 and 8. So you had to be on the top of your game to ensure you didn't miss it.
You never made it to breakfast, did you?
We tried our best, but basically you had to stay up all night to make breakfast.
Yeah.
We'd never get up in time for breakfast.
No.
A nap at the wrong time after a night out could cost you your inclusive food for the day. There were the usual fast food restaurants, which we were relying on, but they quite literally ate into our budget. So we really wanted to make the most of any food that the hotel provided. Dinner is important to me, and was also provided under our half-board deal with the hotel. I'm not a fussy eater, but it really was disgusting. We would be served a plate each of whatever they had made that night. There was no element of choice. I've never seen anywhere manage to make pasta taste so bad. The other night's meals were all largely similar. Moussaka and what looked like lasagna looked and tasted the same. It was always a pasta meal, always tasted the same, but the guy who served the plates of food and bread rolls to the lads gave it a different name. So, I mean, it was like they had a job load of this stuff and they'd just throw it out to the boys and say, "That's moussaka," and I'd say, "No, it's not. It's got nut," because there's vegetables in that, isn't there? It was the fourth night in tonight, but the lads had an extra spring in their step. Tonight at our hotel dinner was not going to be a variation of a pasta dish, but was going to be a barbecue.
Barbecue night.
Mm. What gave us a slight bit of extra hope with this was that we were each forced to pay a small supplement. It was exactly what we needed after a week, and we all looked forward to sitting around a barbecue. So the charge is something like, I think the equivalent of about a fiver each extra
right.
for the barbecue, I assume because they had to buy in the meats.
Yeah.
When it came to dinner time, we all sat down on the table that they pulled out at dinner next to the pool, and a tray of unidentified meats were produced. It was one of those where it was a tray of food, but it was very difficult to work out exactly what the meat was. There was not a barbecue in sight. In broken English, the guy serving the food told us that chef cooked meat before. There was a sausage and a rib each. So we had visions that the meat, you know, they bring out some meat, so it'd be cooked on a barbecue,
yeah.
have a couple of beers and that. But no, what seemingly they were suggesting is that the chef had barbecued all the food before, but it didn't look like it had been barbecued. Like it'd been cooked three or four times before.
Was it burnt to a crisp?
It wasn't burnt. I don't think, in a way, that would give me a bit more confidence that it had been near a fire. It looked like it was microwaved. It was like that horrible texture. I looked around the table. Even Chazza, who was normally good at motivating the group, didn't know what to say. Dossa was sticking his fork into one of the sausages and cracking on, and the convict looked like he was about to cry. But the worst affected was Cantonar. He couldn't take any more. He stood up, pushing his chair to the floor, and stormed off.
Drama.
He went missing for 2 hours, and I found him, after a while, sitting on the bottom of a hill opposite our hotel, head in his hands. He was a broken man and was looking up flights home on his phone. Things only got worse when I told him how much that probably was costing him. Poor lad, he had his phone out looking at flights.
Was the meat really that depressing that he wanted to get a flight home?
No, but you got to think, all the boys have been looking forward to that all day. Yeah. And it was after the meals that we'd had, the thought of having this barbecue, Cantonar was broken with this.
And also, hadn't turned his data roaming off.
No, so, I mean, that was going to cost him a fortune, so yeah. I had to tell him that. Just imagine him on the bottom of that hill.
30 quid a minute.
Me and Paddy tried to console him. There were only about 3 or 4 nights left. He just had to dig deep and not quit.
They should do this for comic relief or something. This sounds like you're making it sound is quite a task.
It was definitely...
Maybe Greg James should do this instead of the Zambezi.
What, a holiday in Falaraki?
Sounds harder.
Well, yeah, I mean, you joke. I remembered what Rocky had said to his son in Rocky Balboa, the 6th film in the series. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't always sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are. It will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it.
Oh, please, you're in Falaraki and the food's not very nice.
You, me, or nobody are going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. If you know what you're worth, go and get what you're worth. But you've got to be willing to take the hits and not point fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that. And you ain't a coward. You're better than that. I told him all that.
All of that?
Yeah.
What, from memory?
Just motivated him. It's my favourite film.
But he's at the bottom of the hill with his data roaming on, with his head in his hands, and you did that whole speech to him to try and motivate.
Yeah, it felt like the right thing to do.
Did you do it in Sylvester Stallone's voice?
No, I didn't, because that would be tricky.
Try now.
Okay.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place.
You should have done that, I think.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Really good.
Cantonar looked down at the ground, then up at me and laughed. He reached into his pocket and slowly pulled out a Zinger burger. I sat down next to him and together we ate it, overlooking the sea in the distance.
What, out of his pocket?
Well, yeah, seemingly...
How long had that been there?
Well, he'd been missing a couple of hours, so he'd obviously gone to the Colonel, hasn't he? We sat there a while before joining the boys back at the hotel. All the meats were gone. Sir Dosser and the Beast had actually enjoyed the meal, eating most of it themselves. The rest of the lads were deflated. It was almost like, as we all sat there, we just needed a sign, something to motivate us. As we sat there, out of nowhere, a small cat walked close to us and jumped up on the table. A small pussy cat. It was the sign we needed.
No, don't do that.
Why?
Don't eat it.
No, we weren't going to eat it.
Oh, sorry, that's what it's made it sound like.
It was just a small black pussycat.
I mean, I know you're hungry, but seriously.
And it just reminded us that there were more things out there or something. It was just something about it made us...
What?
Made us...
Like what?
I don't know how you can explain this. It just sort of gave us a bit of hope.
Because there's a cat there.
Small pussycat. I can't explain it.
Is it rude?
I think I can't really say, can I?
I don't know.
This was a turning point in our... Also, why are there so many cats on these resorts?
There that's always
another,
are.
That's another thing. Because I look back and maybe it just wasn't a sign. Maybe there was just so many cats out there that it saw some of the meats and just wanted the food. And
you know what possibly. I mean? Like, who knows, Chris?
We all knew we needed to pick ourselves up and move forward. What I've got here is some reflective music.
Oh, okay. So do I need to press play?
If you want to press play.
Okay.
Chaz walked back to his room and collected the beers.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm liking it. Carry on.
Chaz walked back to his room and collected the beers. As he walked back towards us, he threw them out one at a time. I was proud of my friends. It felt like as a group, we could take on anything. We'd all gone through a lot between us in our life, but even when we were at our lowest, we were a force together. That night was the best night of our holiday, ending at breakfast the next day. No one left early. We moved through the town like ducks in formation. Ducks flying together. This wasn't just a holiday, it was a test. We weren't just a team, we were a unit. In good times and bad times, I'd be on their side forevermore. That's what friends are for.
Oh, what a song. Here's a theme tune.
I've bossed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Tonight, after the show, I am working backstage at the National Television Awards.
Oh, wow.
It's on the telly tonight. And
what are you doing? Are you...
Well, my job is to entertain the audience. When you see a commercial break on TV, I'll be entertaining the crowd, but I'm not going to be on stage. I'm not going to be like, right, let's split the crowd in two. I'm not doing that. I'm just like a voice. So I'll be like, hello, audience. That.
So you'll be in a box at the top
it's like
of the
a small cupboard. Yeah, a small cupboard in the top of the O2. And then when Dermot goes, after the break, or whatever the music goes, then I go, hi, audience. Hope you're enjoying the show tonight. I don't really know what else to do.
That's amazing. Think of the opportunities you have with that.
Well, I think so, a little bit. I know that the people at the National Television Awards are listening at the moment, and this will strike the fear of God into them. But imagine if I did, like 5 seconds before they came back from the break, go, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and Dermot, your flies are open!
Yeah. Go!
Whoa. And you're back on. Welcome back.
Oh my God, that's so
even,
cool.
I don't even think that would throw him, because he's such a professional.
And think about the people in the crowd as well. That's
who I'm supposed to be talking to, like not on stage, just a voice, like all over the O2. So, like 5 seconds, four, three, almost back on ITV. Ladies and gentlemen, the free bar starts now, and they all leave.
Yeah, this is brilliant. I'm just thinking of the things that you could do in that time. Do you remember when we went to the pub last Friday night,
and it was really busy for some
rammed
reason.
In there.
Just one of those Fridays where for some reason it was just really, really busy. And you were getting a bit stressed with it because...
like, you know, people really up in your face. It was really, really, like, I just want it to be quieter than it is.
But we were lucky to have a seat, and there was a lot of people who were just standing right in front of our seats, and it was all a bit long. Mm. So you got me to... You clinked the glasses.
Yeah, it was like...
And then I would
ding,
shout...
Ding, 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 ding.
Time to drink up, please, ladies and gentlemen. Do it, like, but really loud.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Time to drink up now.
Make your way outside, please.
Make your way outside, please. Make your way outside.
And brilliantly, a few of them did.
I could do that before the start of part three tonight as the whole audience leaves. But I won't, people at the National Television Awards, if you're listening.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Chris has seen this as a unique opportunity to... What was it? Make yourself a legend.
Well, you're saying you need to be professional. I'm saying no.
You have to be entirely professional. It's the whole TV industry who will be there.
One button.
Entire TV industry.
But this is why you're in the best position ever. One button and you speak to all of them.
Well, you want to... Go on, pigs!
Go on, pigs
no,
is a great suggestion.
Absolutely not.
Another person says get them all to sing Home and Away. Could
no.
be brilliant.
Actually, that's not bad.
It's a really good idea.
It's not actually bad.
A nice sing song at the break.
Traditionally, TV people aren't that lol.
Are they not?
No, they're not going to see the funny side.
I just think there's...
I'm not talking about... I mean, some producers in television, not that...
I mean,
not that amused by things like that.
It doesn't have to be rude or anything. I'm just saying that you could...
Have a bit of fun with it.
There's such an opportunity here for you.
And they've let me take over their official Twitter feed for the night.
Oops.
Oh.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So you're real or no real? Your chance to win. We've gone back to 10, haven't we? 10 Scott Mills points. All good. Chris Smith off the news reads them out, but are they real or no real? Have a guess.
The average person will spend 2 weeks of his or her life kissing.
Hmm. It's one of those that when you hear, you know, all these different facts about various years that it takes to do something, waiting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
2 weeks doesn't seem that much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 2 weeks out of your whole life.
It
depends whether you kiss a lot, doesn't it?
Do you kiss a lot?
Well, have you kissed a lot?
No, but I think
you have.
I think...
You look like the type.
What does that... What does
you just
what?
Look like you've had a lot of kisses.
I look like the type of person that has kissed someone.
Yes, a lot.
I don't know if that's a compliment or an
Neither
insult.
Do I. I'm just observing, speaking as I find.
But you're speaking in that really weird voice you do when
that's
you're...
That's right. Real or no real?
I'm saying it's probably more no real.
That one is real.
Oh, okay. Still think you've done more. And next.
During a live lounge in 2002, Natasha Bedingfield covered the theme tune to Star Wars. As it's an instrumental, Natasha played along on the tambourine.
Why would you do that? Do you know what I mean?
It's an interesting way of doing things. Maybe that's what it was like in the live lounge back then.
Now, Natasha Bedingfield
is... I'm going to sit the next one out and just do Star Wars while my band are. I'm not going to sing.
Natasha Bedingfield is, of course, a musical legend. But I don't know much about her personal life.
What are you basing the word legend on? You're using it a bit too freely, I feel.
I'm not sure what she's into. I'm not sure if she would be a Trekkie.
Okay.
Oh, no, Star Wars.
Legend based on what?
Classic album, isn't it? We've spoken about it before. She's made some incredible songs.
These words? Yes. Unwritten? Yes. Theme from the Hills.
Bruise Easily?
Not
so much.
I want to have your babies? No.
No.
Real or no real? Bedingfield Live Lounge?
No, they wouldn't have let her do this. No real.
That one is no real.
Mm. Shame, though. Here's your next fact, or is it?
Diet Pepsi was originally called Patio Diet Cola.
Why? Patio Diet Cola.
Sometimes you do hear things that used to have rubbish names, and but this they changed them last minute.
This is it, and this sounds so ridiculous that I'm kind of thinking it's going to be true, because if you're going to make up a name for this fact, I'm going to say no real.
Out of all the ones tonight, this is the one that you'll tell your mates down the pub, if it is real.
If it's real, yeah.
No real?
No real.
Patio Diet Coke used to be called Diet Pepsi.
That one is real.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Why would you call it that?
Due to a copyright issue around their name, in South Korea, Westlife are known as Boys Wholesome Like Auntie's Bread.
Which would be an epic name.
Sometimes,
of a boy band.
But in Korea, you can imagine the translation and all that. Could be.
It's a translation thing rather than not allowed to be called
Westlife. Probably doesn't mean anything in Korean.
So it
mean anything anywhere, but like less in Korean.
So it'd be the Korean equivalent of boys wholesome like bread or whatever it is.
Mm.
Okay,
what they are, aren't they?
I'm going to go real.
All right, boys wholesome like bread. Name for Westlife in Korea.
That one is no real.
Oh. And another one for you on Real or No Real.
Michael Bublé wears blue-tinted contact lenses during TV performances over the festive period to give his eyes that trademark Christmas sparkle.
Oh, that's a good trick.
Yeah.
You can imagine the boobs doing that as well.
Is this a TV thing? Has this happened before? Do you do this or...?
I don't do it. Sometimes I'll let you into a secret. Sometimes I do place mascara just on the top of the eyelashes, not on the bottom. Otherwise, boys look like a panda. And also, I do sometimes put eye drops in. Have I ever put contact lenses in? No.
Wow.
Some people do. To make their eyes look shiny.
Okay. I'm going to say, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to say real.
Just at Christmas time, Bublé's contacts.
Yeah.
That one is no real.
Ha! That'd be great if you did. And at the end of that...
I scored 20 points, not my best.
Not your best. Let us know how you're doing at 81199.
The Scott Mills Daily.
A lot of people hearing Tap End today and in real worry for your £100 trip that you've got coming up to the island of Tenerife. Is that where... is that the Isle of Fernandos?
Oh, no one knows.
I think they do.
Do they?
I don't think that's a very good secret.
Well, I didn't know.
I think you might be going to the island of Fernando's off of Take Me Out.
Really?
Which always looks cloudy on TV.
So it's going to be full of, is that
happy couples.
You're not saying that's why it's so cheap, are you?
No, I don't think it's that it's made it cheap. In fact, that would probably bump the price up, I would imagine. Going to the same island as Take Me Out. Adam's been on with a good point. You know this holiday, which is all inclusive. Was it all inclusive? No, it's not.
No, it's not.
So, no, it's £100 for an apartment.
Yeah.
For a week.
For a week. In a hotel,
but
it's
not
like
each.
A hotel-y thing.
But not each.
Not each.
So you're going to get four people involved, £25 each for a week.
Bosh.
Including champagne and a food pack.
And food pack,
I'm interested in the term food pack. What does that mean? Is that like a packed lunch?
I think, well, maybe.
No.
Maybe. I think it's like a small collection of cereals and maybe a sandwich or something.
Adam's been on with a good point. You know that Falaraki trip we were just talking about?
Yeah.
Did you pay more than £25 for it?
We did, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
And the hotel was?
It was appalling.
Right. From that, would you not have learnt to maybe...
Right. I see what you're saying.
Right. Just something a lot of people are pointing out on Twitter at the moment.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Yes, Chris, for £100, you're going to the actual island of Fernando's.
I don't think we can be certain about this.
I don't think this is a big secret. It's kind of out there, isn't it? I knew about this ages ago. And loads of people are saying it on text.
There's going to be some interesting characters out there.
I mean, do you think that Paddy McGuinness would be upset that we've revealed that a made-up island is actually in Tenerife? I don't think so. So, Chris is off to Tenerife soon.
Yes.
And his mate lent him a phrase book, which we went through a little bit yesterday. Now, you know I love a phrase book.
Well, you've got loads in your house.
Almost as much as I love a guidebook.
Mm.
How many times have you been away with me and you're like, oh, he's got the guidebook out again?
Yeah,
it's quite old school because you can just look things up online now, but I like to have like the feel of an actual book telling me what to do, where to stay, what the local laws and customs are, what to drink, what to eat, places to go. I like it.
Well, this is what I was going to say, and you'll read this on the plane.
I could read them for hours. Yeah. It's like my dad with car magazines. Like, sit him down with a car magazine, even if it's a really old one from, like, 3 years ago, happy. Like, doesn't care. Mm. We'll just read it and read it and read it again and again. I'm the same with guidebooks. So I've had a little rifle through my guidebook selection, just for other things that you might need to know when you're going away, like phrases you may need to use. Okay?
Yeah, because some of yesterday's were just ridiculous.
Well, I've got one here from several lovely holidays that I've had in the country Holland, which is, well, Amsterdam's good. Mm. And they have those really good double-decker trains in Holland. I've been to Utrecht and I think Rotterdam as well. And then the rest of it, there's not much. It's just flat and stuff. But here's how to say something in Dutch if you ever need to.
We hebben het helemaal niet naar onze zin.
That's from my computer, which speaks Dutch.
And what does that mean?
That means...
We are having a terrible time.
So let's say you do pay £100 for all... four of you for a week on holiday. If that should ever come up...
We hebben het helemaal niet naar onze zin.
That's how to say it in Dutch.
We are having a terrible time.
It's just a very odd thing to have to learn.
It is.
You know, if you're on holiday, you assume you've probably put somewhere nice.
Well, I'd learn it in Spanish as soon as
right,
we can, sweetheart.
Okay. Okay.
We're staying with Holland now. Another one I found in a kind of why would you ever need to use this in Holland kind of way. This is...
Ik geef u een recept voor zetpillen.
And if you ever need that in the English, it's...
I'm going to prescribe some suppositories.
Okay.
Now, surely a doctor would say that. I don't think you should self-prescribe those.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to learn this, why would you... This wouldn't be the first thing you'd really need to learn, is it?
I'm going to prescribe some suppositories.
Suppositories.
Ik geef u een recept voor zetpillen.
Now, then I got... Like, you know how I get obsessed with the guidebooks and the phrasebooks? Then I looked online and I found this one. If you do ever find yourself in southern Africa and speaking Setswana, which is spoken by about 4.5 million people in just the south of Africa, don't alarm people by going around shouting this. Because they'll think you're mad. Which translates to...
What year is this?
What year is this?
When are you ever going to need to panic?
What
ask
year
that?
Is this? Here's another one, in Setswana. Like I said, not spoken by that many people, but some.
Aethamol without a case of beta.
Oh, I like the sound of their language.
Aethamol without a case of beta.
And that is...
Let it be well rubbed with a rag.
Let it be well rubbed with a rag.
In one way or another, these are all vaguely medical, aren't
they? Kind of.
Let it be well rubbed with a rag.
Yeah. Do you want to hear that again, just in case?
Yeah. Aethamol without a case of beta.
Let it be well rubbed with a rag.
God, I don't know what that would be.
That's the point. Matt says, if Chris could cram 10 people into his hotel room, he'd end up with a holiday to Tenerife for a tenner each.
That's true.
And that's the kind of thing that you would do.
Mm.
Right, also, I have a book called Get By in Welsh. Now, my computer couldn't handle Welsh, so these are read by Alid. And... These are from an actual phrase book. Why do you think they would ever need to say this?
Game ddwl, you crickhead.
Which translates, if you're ever in Wales, to...
Cricket is a silly game.
Cricket is a silly game.
And so if you're in Wales and you needed to say that, that's...
Yeah, that's what you say. This might come in handy.
Peidiwch a phoeni'r merched yn y babell nesa.
Don't pest the girls in the next tent.
Once again, something that Ali would never need to say.
Brilliant.
And finally, if you find yourself... sorry, I'm getting a bit carried away with my phrase books. If you find yourself in Wales and you need to say...
Mae bronnau ardderchog da hi.
That's if you're a chicken shop, you can say...
She has excellent breasts.
Because you do want to say that sometimes. When you see them there on the fry, you're like, they are excellent.
Mae bronnau ardderchog da hi.
She has excellent breasts.
Paddy McGuinness has been on. He says, let the law see the suit. He hasn't.
Oh,
it's
right.
It's on Wikipedia, it's fine. I don't think I've revealed anything bad.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Someone points out it does say on the end of Take Me Out, thanks to the Tenerife Tourist Board.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. Taking away any mystique that we may have had or that I may have ruined.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
I like that Chris is on the iPlayer at the moment, desperately trying to find us on Sun, Sea and Suspicious Parents last night on BBC 3.
Do you know what? I watched it last night and...
Were we on?
We're on, but for like a split second...
That's why I love TV, because those people, those cameramen, were in that hot, sweaty club when I was DJing for about, I would say, 4 to 5 hours, and we are on for literally a second and a half.
Well, I'm 22 minutes in at the moment. So
why are you so bothered?
Well, because it's just one of those things, I need to find it now, so if anyone wants to help, go forward from 22 minutes and...
I turned it on last night and there was just some bloke, like, chundering into a bucket. I was like, you know what? I'm eating my tea. I'm all right.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Oh, right. We found the bit that we're on BBC 3 last night. We're not even half... Well, it's about half a second. It's not... I said it was 1.5 seconds. It's not even that. It's a blink and you'll miss it job.
23 minutes, 10 seconds in, if you can be bothered.
If you really want to look up that on iPlayer, it's not even worth it. It's just me clapping my hands in a club. Going, come on! But you don't even see me go, come on! Because it's too quick.
But it's kind of cool to find it, I've got to admit.
Is that going on your CV, is it? I might leave it off mine.
You could be up for an award for this kind of thing.
Oh, it's the National Television Awards tonight, yeah. I can't believe I'm not up for it. Nadia Ali and Rapture on BBC Radio 1. I've discussed this before. I don't like it. And it's happening a lot now when TV shows tell you what hashtag to use on the screen.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's just not my favourite. Like, they're doing it a lot on that show last night. It's like, oh, I'll write my own hashtag, thanks very much.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Some people are going, hang on a second. You don't like suggested hashtags? Are you forgetting hashtag We Love Becky from Friday's show? Yeah, it's just when they come up on the screen for, like, specific moments. Like, they do it, like, in X Factor, like, 20 different hashtags come up all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
You just mean where they constantly keep changing it.
On the screen, yeah. Also, shout out to Harry on Twitter, who actually went to the iPlayer and looked up that bit of Sunsea and Suspicious Parents. Obviously, no uni work to do then. Quite a quiet day for you.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Got an email from someone called Lucy, and she's asking me, she's in Chester. Hi, Lucy. She's listening live today. Normally gets the podcast because she's at work or at uni. And she says, can you stop referring back to things that we've done for the last few months? Because, and this happens to a lot of people, I get this a lot on Twitter, they're really far behind on the podcasts. Some people 2, 3, 4 months behind. Lucy at the moment is listening to our podcasts from August.
That's really awkward, because it means by the time she gets to summer,
yeah,
she's going to be listening to Christmas podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, that is... I mean, I know you're very busy, but could you spend maybe a little bit more time listening to the podcasts, and then you'll be a bit more up to date? Because August is way back, and there's a lot since August that's happened.
Mm.
A certain member of the team has left the show. You'll get to
that. Oh, gosh, she's in for a shock, isn't she?
She doesn't know anything about that, does
she? What she needs to do is go double speed, 2 a day, 2 or 3 a day.
Can you do that on there?
Well, if she's got them all banked up, she could do one in the morning, yeah, one at lunch.
I thought you meant actually speed them up. So I don't know this.
Oh, well, that's not a bad show. You can do that, I think.
I think you can
on your phone. Like ×2 or ×3. Yeah. We sound ridiculous, but...
Well, you can still understand what we're saying, though.
Yeah.
But I think it just gets you through a lot more Scott Mills dailies a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got the Dialer Carol calls that we did at Christmas when I called up and spoke to Frank.
Yeah. You sort of want to be roughly in time with the show.
She's got us buying each other Christmas presents off the shopping channels again.
Oh, blimey.
There's loads of stuff. And the last show from the team member that I won't mention, I was going to spoil
it
for you.
Look, this is us at double speed. I mean, it's very quick, isn't it? It's not how you really want to hear it.
It's quite quick, but I think you'll get the idea.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, Mark and Annick, who says, this thing about listening to the podcasts on double speed, can't you just talk really slow so that when we speed it up, it'll sound normal? No. Also, Paul, off of Edinburgh, says, why does Chris have podcasts in his phone of a show that he's in? He sometimes asks for a shout-out on different Radio 1 shows. It's like he'll sometimes text into Grimmy and go, can I have a shout-out? It's like, you work there?
Back on tomorrow between 1 and 4, including a wet innuendo bingo moment at 1:45. Come join. Scott Mills.